I love you guys. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to continue on in the series called The Cycle of God's Love, Part 3 today, which is entitled The Power of Love in the Ending Days. The Cycle of God's Love. Let me kind of review a little bit here. Basically has four parts to it. First of all, God loves you. Scripture says that we love Him because He first loved us. So He loves us. He loves you. The second part of the cycle of love is the response to that, which is we love Him. From the scripture that I just quoted, which is 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loves us. So the cycle of God's love starts with Him loving us, and then our response is that we love Him. And of course, He showed His greatest demonstration of love in sending Jesus, to die for us. And it says in John 17, which we'll be looking at in a little bit, says in John 17 that He loves us as much as He loved Jesus. So He loves us, we love Him. And in that relationship of Him loving us and we loving Him, we begin to experience the healing power of God's love in our life. Not the healing power physically, I'm talking about the healing power of healing us so that we begin to understand that we can love ourselves. If God loves you, you can love yourself. And so His healing power of love in us that causes us to love ourselves, to accept ourselves, to stop the self-hatred, to stop the condemnation of ourselves. And then the flow of love then goes on because the word says we are to love others as we love ourselves. So the cycle of God's love is He loves us, we love Him, we learn to love ourselves in that love relationship, and then out of loving ourselves and God's love in us, we then begin to love one another. And it's a cycle. Because as you continue to focus, especially on God's love for you and on loving yourself, then the other two pieces fall into place. God loves you, so we love Him. And in that relationship, we love ourselves. And because we love ourselves, then we can love others. In part two, we talked about the force of love, and we focused primarily on God's love for us and the healing aspect of that love. That He loves us so much. Like I said, He gave us His Son. And He cares about you and every intimate detail of your life, and He has set it up so that He will take care of you. You are the apple of His eye, and His attention is turned towards you. Now, sometimes that you can get lost in the us. See, when I say God loves you, God loves you, a lot of us tend to think, well, yeah, I know He loves Pastor Joshua because I see what he does in his life, or I know He loves such and such, or I know He loves this person, but I don't know that He loves me. But see, God's focus is not just on the collective us. God loves you, James. God loves you, Nicholas. God loves you, Christina. Even you. Donna, God loves you. His focus is directed towards you. And Sonia, Penny? Yes, Linda? Yes, there we go. We can volunteer ourselves. Yes, God loves me, even me. And then we talked about because he loves you that much, that he desires for you to love yourself. The anointing that he has brought to your life in the anointed one and his anointing dwelling in you in Christ, that's what Christ means, right? We are to let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. The anointed one and his anointing. And we looked at Luke 4:18 about how the anointing in Christ affects each part of us, our spirit, our heart, our soul, and our bodies. And him dwelling in us and understanding that we are rooted and grounded in his love, then the result is that we become like Christ, rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, breadth, length, depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So his love working in us, his anointing shown in Christ, working in us, brings healing to our lives so that we then can love others. The force of God's love. Today, I want us to go to another level. That was focusing on God's love for us and his healing love towards us. I want us to look a little bit more at now the other two aspects of us loving God and us loving others. I've entitled this "The Power of God's Love in the Ending Days," because these two aspects in particular are going to be so important for these ending days. The way that we have loved God in the past, the way that we have loved others in the past, is not going to work to take us to where God needs us to go. We have to come up to a new level of our understanding of what it means to love God and what it means to love others in these ending days. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Pastor used this illustration a few weeks or months ago. I don't know how long it's been, but I want to use it again because it's really good. In chemistry, there is a principle of saturation. So if you take your cup of coffee, now I'm going to say your cold cup of coffee. If you take your cold cup of coffee and you start putting sugar in it, the sugar will saturate into the coffee and it just stays there. But there gets to be a point where you put so much sugar in it that it no longer can saturate, right? The liquid can no longer absorb the sugar. And at that point, it is saturated, completely saturated. But if you add heat to it, then that heat will cause the saturation to increase, and I believe it's called super saturation. It's the heat that makes the difference. It's the heat that makes the change. And so what the Lord has been showing me is that in these two areas of loving God and loving others, there has got to be a heat that has got to be added. 1 Peter puts it this way: be fervent, hot, be fervent in your love for one another. John in Revelation put it this way: be hot or be cold, don't be lukewarm. And so the hot towards God is important, loving him, being hot towards him. The last days requires a new understanding of love. The challenges of the last days will cause us to face choices that we have never had to face before. Our understanding of loving God and loving others must be radically different to take us to the rapture. Love God above everything. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus says there that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And of course, in Luke, in recounting this incident, talks about with our strength as well, which would indicate our body. We are to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and body, with our whole being. Now, sometimes in services like this, when there's a lot of anointing, we think of loving God as that wonderful feeling of just, oh, Lord, I love you. Thank you so much for all you've done for me. And it becomes kind of an emotional thing. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about our feelings of emotion because what God has done for us, our feelings of emotion because God is really neat and we love being in the anointing and feeling that peace and that joy and his love, and we have an emotional experience with that. That's not the kind of love that we're talking about here. Throughout all these scriptures, the word that's used is agape. And agape is not an emotional love. Agape is a decision. It's an action. Jesus put it this way in John 14, 21. He said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." He it is that loves me. See, our love for him is not that emotional feeling. When he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what he's saying is, obey my commandments with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with your whole being. Obey, do what God says to do. Let's go on in that scripture. It says, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Are you hearing it? If a man loves me, he will keep my words. See, that is fervency. That is hot. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. We talk about that relationship that we want to have with him. He in us and we in him. Well, here it is. You want to have that kind of relationship with him? Obey his word. Love him by your action. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Remember, Jesus said, I only say the things that I hear my Father say. This is pretty heavy when you think about it. And we need to look at our lives and say, am I really loving God? We need to go to a higher level of loving him, of having that fervency towards him. And the higher the heat, the hotness towards God, the more of God, the more of the I in him and he in me, which is what we want. It involves a trust in the love of God. We look at situations and things in our lives and we say, I know I can handle this. I know I can do this. God may say, you know, I'm supposed to love that person and forgive them. But look what they did to me. And so we have our way of dealing with it. God is saying, no, we need to put those things aside. Deal with it his way. We are to be loving and forgiving people. We need to trust him that he will take care of all those situations in our life. In Hebrews 6, verse 12, in the Amplified, it says, as a definition of faith, the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. The leaning of the entire personality, heart, soul, mind, and body, our being, our whole personality, our whole being, leaning on him. What does that mean? That means, see, we can lean against this. I can lean against this pulpit, and I know it will support my weight. But see, I'm not just leaning on this pulpit. I'm also standing on my legs, because if the pulpit was suddenly moved, you know, I'm still okay. Leaning our entire being on him is that point where we have lost control, where we let go, you know what I'm saying? And so many times we don't want to let go because we're not trusting his word, that his word is going to uphold us, that his word is going to support us. And we have in our minds that plan B. Well, if this doesn't work, I can always do this. In these last days, we can't be there. We have got to be able to put the full weight of our being on him, to have that fervency for God, that hotness towards him. We can see it demonstrated in the words of John in 1 John. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world," you want me to read the next sentence? "The love of God is not in him." Ooh. Ooh. We need to look at ourselves. Where are we standing? You know, we like to think that we're hot. But is our hotness because it's, you know, is it a lukewarmness that's a little towards the hot side? But it's still lukewarmness. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that keepeth the will of God abides forever." James puts it this way, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity towards God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." We need to grow in our fervency, our hotness towards him. Why don't you turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John 21. John 21. This is when Jesus, after the resurrection, is ministering to Peter, who had denied him three times. And he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Each time a different Greek word for love. I'm going to pick it up on the last one. "He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And here he's using the word agape. Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 18, Jesus goes on, "Verily I say unto thee, when you were young, thou girdest thyself and walked where you would. And when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." In other words, where you don't want to go. Verse 19, "This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." Follow me. So he was saying this to Peter, and he was showing him in Peter's response. Peter's response was, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Well, then follow me." even though he had given him some indication of how he would meet death. But I want us to go on, because Peter then turned about, seeing the disciple that Jesus loved, talking about John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, "Lord, what is he that betrayeth thee?" Or which is he that betrayeth thee? And what he's talking about there is, well, what about him? You said to him that he was going to possibly live forever. And he started getting into this conversation about whether John would live forever. And Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus, seeing him, said unto Jesus, "Lord, what will this man do?" And Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Listen to this rebuke. What is that to thee? What difference does it make about what that person is doing, or what I've got that person, my will for that person is? And then he says, "Follow thou me." You follow me. Don't worry about what that other person is doing, about where God is taking them. You follow me. He was trying to get Jesus off the track there. Well, what about him? You know, he could have gone through all the disciples. What about that guy? And what about this guy? No, you follow me. And so Jesus says the same thing to us. You love me? Then you follow me. You take the word of God. You see what the word of God has to say to you. And you follow Jesus. You follow his word. It says in 1 John 4:16 and 17. He says, "Know and believe the love of God." Know and believe the love of God. We need to be so convinced of God's love towards us that when he says, "Jump," we say, "How high?" In other words, when he speaks his word to us, whether it be through his written word or his word in our heart, our response should be, "Yes." Because we have gotten to a point, learning to lean the entire weight of our being on him, that then we know and we believe. In other words, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt his love, and we believe it. In other words, we have faith, confidence in it, in his love. We know and believe the love of God. Then when he says, "Don't go there." "Well, Lord, I have to." No, I said, "Don't go there." Or, "Go there." You know, I remember one time I was in a restaurant, and it was a fairly large restaurant with a lot of different rooms that had people sitting in them. And I remember when the guy took us back to that room, it was like we went down this little hallway and around that corner and back over around that side. And it's like, wow, how am I going to get out of here? I was sitting there, I was thinking about that, and I thought, what if there was an earthquake right now? I said, well, what would tend to happen is everybody starts rushing for the front door. I said, well, what we need to have such confidence in God that we know that 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 will fall at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. It shall not come nigh me. And so my response would be, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, that restaurant happened to have a bunch of windows in the room that I was in. And I thought, it would be safer for me if God said, "Don't go to the front door, go stand by the windows." It would be safer for me to be right there where God said to go, because who knows, maybe the whole front of the restaurant's going to collapse. And so we need to have such a trust in God to know and believe his love for us, that no matter what the circumstances, and we are going to face circumstances in these last days where we need to be where we need to be and not be where we shouldn't be, where we need to do and to say certain things to certain people and not to others, because God needs to lead and guide us through all the perils of these last days. Perilous times are coming. Know and believe the love of God. And when we, according to Ephesians 3, which I quoted a few minutes ago, when we are rooted and grounded in his love, when it is such a part of our heart, of our core value system, such a part that we can trust Him so completely, then as we are filled with all the fullness of God, we are able to do exactly what He tells us to do and be where He tells us to be, use the power and dominion and authority that He's given us when He says to speak to that, when He says to do that. But in fact, this morning there was a situation where somebody sent me a message and said, the freeway just stopped. And I immediately sent back a message to say, well, in the name of Jesus, the freeway is moving now in the name of Jesus. I immediately got a text back and said, it just moved. And so, see, we need to walk in that kind of power and authority as God leads us. And so we have to trust God to know when He's speaking to us and what He wants us to do. And like Jesus, we need to entrust ourselves to Him. When Jesus in 1 Peter 2:23, it says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously. No matter what the situation may look like in our lives, we need to trust him, entrust ourselves to him, because we know and believe the love of God, and we are following his word. We are hot for him and fully saturated with him. He provides protection, provision, and guidance. I'm not going to go through those scriptures. You can go through them yourselves. Because what we're trying to do is live in such unity with him. He in us and we in him. Such unity that we know his word, we know his voice, we know where he's taking us, and we just follow along in lockstep. Now what, Lord? Now what do I do? I remember I had a day like that. I had to replace a water heater, and I had never done anything like that before. And I just was spending my time just praying in tongues as I was going about. And God just led me. I had a car that I had then. I thought I might be able to get it in the car, but I wasn't sure. I felt confident that I could. You know, I bought it at the store. I brought the water heater out to my car, and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get this, you know, water heater into the car. And right then, some guy walks up and says, hey, can I give you a hand? I mean, just right at the right time, exactly what I needed. We got it in there. The doors just barely closed. It was sitting on the rest, you know, in the back seat. It was sitting on the armrests and just barely closed. But it was enough. And then I got over to where I was going, and I was thinking, well, I know I can get it out of the car, but then what am I going to do? And just then, a guy walks up and says, hey, I have a hand truck here. Can I help you? And so he just, you know, helped me with the hand truck and got the where it needed to go. And just step by step, I mean, I was just praying in tongues and just having one eye on what I was doing and one eye on the Lord and just asking him. And see, we need to be like that every single day, and especially in these last days, trusting him. What do you want me to do now, Lord? Now what? Now what? Now what? And let him lead us and guide us in such unity with him. So now I want us to talk about the hotness of our love for one another. The fervency that 1 Peter talks about. Fervently love one another from your heart. We have in us the Spirit of the living God. It says in Romans chapter 8 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And as we have learned how in that relationship with God to love ourselves, then we have such an immense capacity to be able to love others. Now again, it uses the same word, agape. Agape is a decision. It's not necessarily emotion. There can be emotion involved, but it is wanting the well-being of that person above your own. So as you're dealing with people, you're putting their needs, their situations above your own. Love is willing to be inconvenienced, if necessary, in order to show love and encouragement. And in these last days, that is going to be so important. See, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, that we in these last days, and let us consider one another to provoke them unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing near. Being in fellowship with our brothers and sisters is so important in these last days, because it is there that we can encourage one another, that we can exhort one another, that we can prod one another, which is what that word means, prod one another to love and to good works, and so much more for these last days. So there needs to be a fervency in our love towards others. We have to get to the point where the sins and inconsistencies that we see in other people have no effect on us. In other words, we are not easily offended. The affirmation that a lot of us have been doing lately, in the name of Jesus, I am a loving and forgiving person, is a powerful affirmation to do for yourself. I am a loving and forgiving person. You know, I find it real interesting because, you know, at times I find myself getting a little offended by somebody, and I find myself sometimes kind of carrying that around and not dealing with it as quickly as I should have. And then when I start dealing with it, sometimes it's a struggle to kind of work through that I need to forgive them. But as soon as I say that affirmation, I am a loving and forgiving person, it's like, you know what? It just melts away, because it's that scripture and that understanding that I am a loving and forgiving person that causes the offense just to roll off. And it's like, it doesn't matter. I am a loving person, and I am more concerned about them than about me, more concerned about what's going on in their life than about me. It doesn't matter. I am a loving and forgiving person, and then I can easily let go of the offense and focus on love. And when I focus on love, it makes such a tremendous difference. And in these last days, the fervency of our love for others is going to be so important. We're going to need to help each other. We're going to need to support each other. We're going to need to pray for each other. We're going to need to be able to, with our power and authority, help one another, calling forth food and provision and safety in other people's lives. And our love towards them is going to take us in that direction. If we're easily offended, it will divert what God wants to do in our love for one another. So get a tough skin, but that's not really what I mean. Get a loving heart, and you will be able to overcome all the obstacles of the evil one as he tries to get you offended through other people. As I bring this to a close, I want to talk about another aspect of love in these last days. We need to, I'm going to go back to loving God for a moment. We need to love God so much and have such trust and confidence in him and be so hot in our love towards him that nothing and no one is above our love for God. It is more important to love him and to be obedient to him than it is to love others. And I'm saying that on purpose. It may not quite sound right, but I'm saying it on purpose. Because in these last days, it says perilous times are coming, 2 Timothy 3. Perilous times are coming. Men will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. There will be wickedness abounding. And if we let the love of others, our compassion for them, our desire to help them, if we let that override our love for God and what he's telling us to do, we're going to find ourselves in real trouble. Matter of fact, there's going to come a time as the end of the age of grace comes to a close. While we're still here, and people have done things like taken the mark of the beast and that kind of thing, we have to understand that God's love comes before our compassion for other people. Just as in the Old Testament, and Christianity and Judaism has been criticized for this. You know, why does God want all of the children and everybody, all the women and children and everybody killed in these cities? We have to understand that in the light of the fact that God is love. And if God, in His love, His fullness of love, is commanding that a city be destroyed and all the inhabitants of it, we have got to say there's something here we're missing, because our normal definition of love would say, no, that's not right. But we have to trust, know, and believe the love of God. So why were those cities destroyed? Because those particular inhabitants had no way of coming to salvation at that particular time. The age of grace came. Everyone now has the potential to be saved. So yes, we should love during this time. We should desire to see others come to know the Lord. But again, we need to be led by the Spirit of God and trust His love above compassion for others, above love for others. And there will come days, there will come a time in the end times where, in order to protect people, we may have to be involved spiritually in death. When the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 were doing what God told them to do, they were loving God, right? It says God gave them the power to prophesy. They were doing their job. They were prophesying. They were doing what God said to do. And people came to try to hurt them, to try to kill them. And fire came out of their mouth as they spoke the word of God and destroyed them. You can say, was that love? If they were obeying what God said to do, then it was love, because they were loving God. So I may have shaken up some of your theological and emotional stuff here about love, but I want you to understand that in these last days, our love for God has to become fervent. And our love for one another has to become fervent. But our love for one another has to be under, subservient to our love for God and what He says for us to do. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.